It's just gone 20 to 9. It's time for us to move into the hot seat. A week ago, Kevin Hurley was elected to be Surrey's first police and crime commissioner. Today, he joins me in the studio, and he's this month's guest on the hot seat. I'll be asking him about his vision for the job and some of the challenges ahead. But it is your chance to talk to him too, and I want to hear if you have a question for him. And we can put you on. You can put it to him directly. 0370 411 1046 is our number. Good morning, Mr. Hurley.
Good morning.
So what has it been like since you won the election? I believe you took the job up early.
Yes, I was supposed to start on Thursday, but started first thing on Monday morning. So I was in to meet Lynn Owens, the chief constable, first thing, and then the head of finance for the force and the chief executive, who's responsible for writing the force's policing plan, with obviously the guidance of what I hear from the public.
Now, we're going to come on to the buildings in just a few moments, but let's ask you a bit about your powers. A colleague of yours, covering Avon and Somerset Police, has recently told the chief constable there to reapply for the job, and he's already decided to resign. How is your relationship with Lynn Owens, the chief constable in Surrey?
My relationship with Lynn Owens is exactly what it should be. It's a very professional and cordial relationship. Lynn Owens is, in my view, one of the best, if not the best, chief constable in the country. So, in
why do you say that?
Well, she's got a proven track record of delivery. She's had a very, very widespread career, working both in uniform and CID. She's been a senior investigating officer, leading on some quite important murder inquiries. She's worked in the Metropolitan Police, where she was effectively the operational commander of all 32 boroughs, which is a massive command area. And then she's led on specialist operations in the Met, which is, of course, firearms teams, dogs and horses. I mean, the size of that command is bigger than numbers in terms of the what
there was here. We can take from that you're going to keep her on,
and you know, unless she doesn't give me a cup of tea every now and then, we go in there probably.
But what if she makes an error of judgment and somebody has to take responsibility for it? Is it going to be her or is it going to be you?
Well, I mean, one of the fundamental roles here of the Police and Crime Commissioner is to ensure the Chief Constable delivers the best possible service to the public within the resources she's got. And were there to be a issue which was one where she was culpable, or I was culpable, or someone else in the team was culpable, we'd have to take a view and decide on what was appropriate. But the best way to deliver any product, whatever it is to work as a partnership. I believe in a transformational approach to leadership as opposed to a bullying, transactional one. I mean, I don't like the term that's been used around this, that I'm going to hold the chief constable to account, we've got to hold them to account. That is an unhelpful term. Yes, we need to make sure that the Chief Constable uses the assets she's given and the money she's given properly for the public. But there are many ways of doing it without being confrontational.
Mr. Hurley, if you could put your headphones on there, we will take a call here. We have Charlie from Guildford, and he has a question he would like to put to you. Good morning, Charlie. Mr. Hurley's listening. Please go ahead with the question.
Good morning. Congratulations to the new commissioner. And could I just point out that if it was first past the post, somebody else would be doing it, because we used a part of the transferable vote system. He was able to produce a majority, so I hope he's noticed that. Can I just say, I don't want to be nasty, but I'm a law-abiding citizen, I have no criminal record, I'm quite ancient, but I am not very happy with the Surrey Police. I, like most of the law-abiding citizens of Surrey, we get stopped by the police, even if your car's in perfect order, for what we regard as very petty traffic matters. I'm not saying people should break the traffic law, but it seems the priority amongst the Surrey Police is very petty traffic matters, and you can be held by the roadside for half an hour. They check everything on the car, and then you get things like Jimmy Savile for four decades was a rampant paedophile. Surrey was one of the major police forces that caught him and knew about him and did nothing. We had Levi Belfield, who should have been caught immediately. That girl disappeared right outside his flat. Hundreds of Surrey Police totally bungled that investigation. We've had the former deputy chief constable in court on sexual offences. I think there's 40 serious offences on current Surrey Police that they've been convicted of, serious offences which is one of the record number. And I, may I say, when you're stopped by the Surrey Police, it's like a gang of thugs grabbed hold of you. They give a very low-class impression. I would think in a top county like Surrey, it would be like being in Monaco, you know, the Monegasque police, immaculate, beautifully dressed, very polite.
Charlie, I'm going to interrupt you there because I do want Mr. Hedley to have a chance to respond. We don't know anything about the Deputy Chief Constable and sexual offences, and we'll move on to your response, Mr. Hedley. What do you say in this this against being focusing on what may appear to be petty things as opposed to those big issues?
Well, I think Charlie's raised a number of issues there which are of concern. I'd like to deal with them all because they're all quite important. And the very first one is the legitimacy of the mandate. Yes, it was a second preference vote came into this, but in fact I won that on 7,700 votes. And there is an argument to say if the other independent hadn't been running, I would probably have won by the order of about 25 to 30,000 votes. But moving on from that, Charlie's point about traffic has been made to me many, many times before by people. Yes, people do die on the road, and it's very important that people obey the speeding laws, that they drive the cars in good condition and so on. But it is an interesting issue about where the police do see they should be spending their time. That's why one of the things I've said is that we should be taking a zero-tolerance approach to antisocial behaviour, to burglars, to drug dealers, and seize their assets off them. Now, this is more difficult to do than perhaps stopping people in vehicles for traffic offences. And I'm hopeful that we're going to move the culture of Surrey Police to one where they are going after the people who really blight our lives. One of the good things about the Chief Constable, and we spoke about her earlier, is in her time since she's been here, and she's only been here a little while, she really has started to change that ethos in Surrey Police to relentlessly pursue criminals, which I think is one of the main things the public want us here for. So I think we're going to see more focus on the investigation of serious crime, which I hope answers Charlie's issue about Millie Dowler, and a greater focus on managing other areas, which I think will address issues around Savile. And as for terms of misconduct, I know he's referring to one that occurred, it must be about 20-odd years ago, with the former Deputy Chief Constable, which was dealt with. If you look at the mandate I stood on, one of the points I said, and I'll quote it, was, "I'll be uncompromising in the standards you expect from your police. With public support comes an expectation that police deliver a quality service, and I'll expect the chiefs to inspire their officers to deliver for the public. You pay for it, you've got a right to expect it."
Coming up to 8 minutes to nine, this is Nigel Williams here with the BBC Surrey Breakfast. With me here in the studio, Surrey's first Police and Crime Commissioner, Kevin Hurley. I want to talk to you about buildings. You are against the closure of police stations. You want a higher profile. Have you managed to stop this process taking place?
Where I am is I want to be satisfied on behalf of the public of Surrey that we're making best use of that land in financial terms. Land in Surrey is extremely expensive, and I want to be sure that the best way of dealing with that land is to sell it off. If someone else wants to make a profit from it, that's the first point. But the other one is, police stations are a visible footprint on our high streets and in our towns, and I also want to make sure that we are going down the best route in terms of how we ensure public visibility and public contact. So I'm having a review done on current plans on police station sell-offs and closures.
I'm going to get one of our questions here from a listener. This is a tweet from Paul Deitch. "Could you ask our PCC how it intends to deliver on zero tolerance?" When we spoke earlier on in the week, I disagreed with you and what that means. To me, it means absolutely no tolerance of any law breaking at all. What do you say?
Well, zero tolerance is a policing philosophy, and it really means a couple of things. The first one is not ignoring something when it goes on. So let me give you an example of that. You're out on your high street walking along on a Saturday going shopping with your family or with your friends, and you see a group of antisocial louts, and they could be any age and any social group, but they're making a noise and causing problems on the street. A police car goes by and they catcall and shout out the police car, and the police car continues to go by.
Well, that would be unacceptable.
That would be unacceptable. But the point I'm making is it makes you feel uncomfortable. It makes you feel like the law is being flouted. And therefore, I would want an ethos amongst the officers that they will stop their car, get out and speak to those people and ask them to moderate their behaviour.
At what stage wouldn't they stop, though? I mean, if, for instance, if it was somebody cycling on the pavement, if it was somebody maybe looking like they were about to do some graffiti, would they be stopping then?
Let me just finish that point, and I'll carry on and I'll address that one. So they'll get out and speak to the youths. If they moderate their behaviour, or the drunken adults, if they moderate their behaviour, fine. If not, they'll be given a fixed penalty notice. If they refuse to take it and give their name and address, they'll be arrested, because it's about what it looks like for the members of the public on the street who should not feel uncomfortable. Now, going on to your issue about people cycling on the pavement, I would expect the police officers, assuming we're not dealing with an 8-year-old child, but we're dealing with an adult, and it's a circumstance where there's no reason at all why they shouldn't ride on the road, I expect the police to speak to them and ask them to use their bicycle on the pavement, off the pavement. Once again, if they refuse to comply, I'd expect the police to give them a fixed penalty notice. If they refuse to give their name and address, and there's a power, if you refuse to give your name and address, then they'll be arrested. It simply means that the police will deal with issues as they occur. Now, quite clearly, that I'm not expecting them to arrest everybody, put everybody into custody. What I'm asking the officers to do is do what the public want them to do, which is stop visible breaking of the law in front of them.
Now, I'm going to move on and ask you whether you're going to be taking this as a full-time role or part-time, Mr. Hurley.
I'm going to be doing this as in a part-time role, but it should be clear that I'm also an Army Reservist officer, so that requires for me to spend some time on Army Reserve duty.
OK, so does that mean that you'll be taking the reduction in salary?
No, it doesn't mean that. It means I'll be taking my normal salary. Surrey Police, just like any other major employer, will give probably a week or 2 weeks additional leave for those people who support the country in serving with the reserve forces, and indeed that fits in with government policy.
You defeated the Conservative candidate, Julie Iles, to get this role. We asked her if she had a message for you as you take the job, and this is what she said.
I wish him the very best of luck with the job. He has said at hustings that he would be doing it part-time. I really hope he doesn't, and I hope he looks at the and crime part of the commissioner's job and works with the community safety partnerships and the local authorities and other agencies to prevent crime before it happens and not just focus on policing.
Julie Iles, her comments, your response, please, Mr. Hurley.
I don't think I need to add any more to that, do I? I will, of course, be working with all the various partnership groups, and I've already set in train plans and my diary to actually deal with that, and met a number of partners, and I think I've just addressed the issue that I'm an Army Reservist and I don't intend to give up serving the country.
What about focusing on the prevention of crime?
When I joined the police service in 1979, the first thing we actually learnt word perfect was the primary object of an efficient police is the prevention of crime. That's absolutely fundamental to everything the police service do. And as the Police and Crime Commissioner, I will be working with the Chief Constable to support her in delivering on just that, preventing crime. This is about reducing victims.
Just listening to you speaking, you're obviously a very experienced man in the world of policing. And if I were the Chief Constable listening to this, I may well be concerned that you were going to be too hands-on in operational situations. You just described that situation on the street there. Would you? How much micromanaging are you going to do from the top?
None. If I was the Chief Constable, could have that view potentially, but equally she could say, because this person has served as a professional police officer, they know exactly where the boundaries are between what the role is of an elected politician and the role of the Chief Constable. I've spent 10 years working at senior level in the police, dealing with politicians on a daily basis, and I know where the boundary is, and I will not intrude on her area.
Mr. Hilly, I'm going to put a question here. A car crash which caused minor injuries left the A3 closed for 2.5 hours over the morning rush yesterday. Both the police and highways agency have been insisting it's the other one's job to open the road. Communication problems appear to have left many commuters unnecessarily stuck. Will you be looking at how Surrey Police works with other agencies?
Yeah, yes, of course I will. I think one of the advantages, if you like, of my background is I know that both of these organisations are now equipped with the new airwave radio systems, which do have a capability for officers on the ground to speak directly to each other. So I'll be raising that issue with the Chief Constable on behalf of the Surrey commuters.
I've got a tweet here from John Walter. Sorry to interrupt. Surrey's roads are congested to the max. One accident and the rush hour is stuffed. Can the police prioritise clearing the road?
Preserve an excellent police force.
I beg your pardon, please go ahead.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
I mean, that fits, that in a way runs against Charlie's point about doesn't want the police to be involved in dealing with traffic accidents. I mean, this is the issue for the police. They're damned if they do and damned if they don't. The role for making sure the roads are fit for purpose is really one for the county council. They provide them, and the police, in conjunction with the highways agency, try to keep the traffic moving on them.
We'll leave it there. Surrey's First Police and Crime Commissioner Kevin Hurley, thank you very much for joining us this morning. And that's it for BBC Surrey Breakfast.